I used to tell my father. My father was a scientist in ISRO. So I told him, you're a scientist, you know, where is the scientific basis for all these things? So I cannot accept all these things. I want to know the truth, no doubt. Somehow or the other, it struck me that modern science doesn't even know what is mind. World seen as only as panchabhutas. But what about the sukshma, you know, manas, buddhi, ahankara? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, talks about this world formed of 8 elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, manas, buddhi, ahankara. I was thinking that the science is not bothered about, you know, trying to even question what is this mind. Practically, I went through a period of existential frustration. Kya farak hai? Jeene mein kya farak hai? And then you look at the number of stars in the sky. What is man's position? What is earth's position? What is my position on this earth? How does it matter if I live or die? And at the point of, see, mind is also crazy. When you reach that stage, you can even commit suicide. Mm. And I wanted to commit suicide. I find no purpose in pursuing in my IIT, in anything. I found no purpose. So one day I practically decided, tomorrow I'm going to jump off the main building and commit suicide. That evening, I went to IIT library, as usual. I used to read all these Western philosophy. Ishuraha Paramakrishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karana. Are you to my background? Search kar raha hu? Sarva Karana Karana?
Kya baat?
Kya beautifully Sanskrit mein likha hai? Hum to chahiye, hum soche ye sab kahani hai. And then as I was, you know, I decided I will not commit suicide.
So it was some kind of divine interference.
Divine. Prabhupada's mercy.
Grace. Today, we have a very, very distinguished guest, a very spiritual, great spiritual luminary, Madhu Pandit Das Ji from ISKCON. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for spending time. Ever since I came to know about your wonderful work and initiatives through a friend, you know, I was keen that, you know, I should meet you. And although the world knows you, but I thought, you know, through our channel, if more and more people can also appreciate and get inspired, you know, by your life and by your work, by your initiatives, and by the spiritual legacy that you are, you know, making around the world, it would be so great, you know. So
I am also very pleased that you have come all the way.
Thank you. Prabhuji, let us start, you know, with your life journey in brief, you know. What was the trajectory of your life, you know, and how you got inspired, you know, to you know, take a spiritual path in life, you know. So tell us about that.
I can start from my school days. And basically, I was quite a spiritual person. In my younger days, probably up to 8th standard or something. But after that, there was a whole questioning on my part, you know, especially about the religious practices, rituals, everything that was, you know, being done in my family. And I was like, I sort of became a rebel at the age of, you know, around 14 or something. And I said, you know, I used to tell my father was a scientist in ISRO. So I told him, you're a scientist, you know, where is the scientific basis for all these things? So I cannot accept all these things. I want to know the truth, no doubt. But these are not the truths. These are all superstitions. So I went on like that for about 2 years and 2-3 years. But during those 3-4 years, I started extensively reading about physics, because I thought modern physics has the answer to take us to the cause of all causes, sarva karana karana. Now I am using that word, but in those days, yeah, you know, I was just like a scientist. I was questioning what is what.
Yeah.
So fortunately, one thing is I never left that rational, you know, that structure of thinking. which the modern science has nurtured well as far as the process is concerned. The domain may be limited, but the modern scientific structure of thinking, even today I have not lost it, and I have well utilized it to understand God.
Oh, beautiful.
So what happened was, at, you know, at one point of time, it was an interesting, you know, part of the journey to go through this faith in science, so much faith in science, as much as God in science. And then, you know, at one point of time, somehow or the other, it struck me that modern science doesn't even know what is mind. Okay, they're sticking to gross elements, gross material nature, which I now know as panchabhutas, world seen as only as panchabhutas. But what about the sukshma, you know, manas, buddhi, ahankara? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, talks about this world formed of 8 elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, manas, buddhi, ahankara. So I was thinking that the science is not bothered about, you know, trying to even question what is this mind, what is this intelligence. They are using mind, they are using intelligence to study
the matter.
Matter. They are not questioning what is this and what is, you know, what is it made up of.
So they were stuck up, you know, in the gross things, you know,
so
and not in the subtle aspects, you know, of nature and existence.
Right. And it's a direct experience. Mind is an experience.
Yeah.
And then when I got deep into it, the science answer was, no, these are all, you know, these are not fundamental things. What the mind is an effect of chemicals. That's the only answer they had. Intelligence, it's an effect of this whole bodily biological system. But that is not, that was not at all satisfying to me. That is when I saw the boundaries of science, modern science. Okay. Vijnan, I would say science is no end. But modern science, so the boundaries of modern science, mm-hmm. they themselves bound themselves to study gross material nature. Then I understood that my pursuit of physics cannot lead me to the answers of life.
And if I may ask you, because I went through the similar experience in my life, you know, exactly similar.
Okay.
You know, where I was very deeply religious and spiritual, then I think that is the age, you know, when you start asking questions. And if you don't get the appropriate answers, you rebel.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
You stop, you know, saying, no, this is not making sense to me. Mm. Now, is this, you know, the lack of maybe proper explanation or, you know, scientific explanation of our dharmashastra and our rituals and our practices and our religion that leads, you know, the youth to believe like this, you know, like the way we believed and we went through that? What do you think there?
100%. You see, the depth of Vedic sciences is a million times more than modern science. The depth. And these rituals, practices, traditions, they're all like technology of that big science. Science of knowledge of soul, knowledge of Brahman, Parabrahman. So these higher things in our Vedic understanding also, it's very clear there is a science and there is an application. Science and technology. Like we, in our childhood, we are taught dharma. Do this, don't do this, don't do this. Mostly dharma is known as, it's actually technology, it's application. But those dharma, those do's and don'ts are based upon a science of the soul, the science of God, the Supreme Soul. So from that, this is derived. So our acharyas, they were expert in the science as well as in the technology. They knew the science of the Brahman. They knew the science of the body, the science of the mind, science of intelligence, science of Ahankara, the science of this real Brahman. All that they knew. From that, there are application texts, dharmic texts. And further, there are Puranas, where people have lived this science and technology, spiritual science and technology. So that at least in my generation, younger generation time, and even I can say until recently, in this country, it's a pitiful situation that our youths don't even have an idea of how deep this culture is.
Very well said.
I understood that only when I read Prabhupada's books.
Absolutely.
So I had studied all these, Western philosophers in IIT. Then I went to IIT. From a pre-degree college, I got selected as a national science talent. I got admission in IIT. And then in IIT, I pursued my physics. But in short 6 months, I came to this point, which I mentioned. Then I thought, okay, philosophy may answer. I could not straight away jump to the spiritual sciences. I did not. I went into Western philosophies, Kant, Russell, everything. I was deeply going into it. And then at one point of time, I read one biography of Russell. And he was in the last para of that entire biography was, he was saying that if I get an opportunity to live once again, I'll never touch philosophy. Because after all this philosophizing, I do not know what is what.
Pratyam is about dedicating to Dubai our rich cultural heritage, the essence of Bharat. We are bringing to life the echoes of our glorious past.
We need organizations like Pratyam.
It is old as well as the new rise.
Pratyam Hindu ke gaurav ki gatha gata hai.
60 saal mein humne jo khoya viraasat ke roop mein, sanskruti ke roop mein, usko wapas lane ka kaam kar rahe hain.
Our mission goes beyond creating content. We are sparking a cultural renaissance.
Pratyam ek uttishchat ka naad hai.
Hindu samaj ko jodne ke liye aur sachchai dikhane ka kaam Pratyam dwara ho raha hai.
कई दशकों की एक आवश्यकता को प्राचम पूरा कर रहा है।
प्राचम is putting out as an urgent civilization imperative.
गुलामी की मानसिकता अगर कहीं पर भी अंदर धसी हुई हो ना, उसको उखाड़ फेंकने का काम प्राचम का कंटेंट करता है।
Launching the world's first Hindu OTT platform is just the beginning. We have much more to achieve.
पूरा जन जन सत्य से, तथ्य से और यथार्थ से परिचित होगा।
आपका ये प्रयत्न ईश्वर की आराधना ही है।
काउंटर नैरेटिव का आंदोलन आरंभ हो चुका है।
Pratyam is doing an excellent job to give you knowledge which you don't get in school.
I absolutely love it.
I'm very happy to be a part of the Pratyam family.
I extend my best wishes to you and your entire team.
एक बहुत बड़ी सनातन की सेवा हो रही है। उसके लिए मैं हृदय से Pratyam का अभिनंदन करता हूँ।
Your support can turn this vision into reality.
Pratyam. Pratyam is doing a very, very good job.
We Sanatanis need Pratyam.
People are going back to their roots.
It's important for our country.
Arm yourself with the knowledge.
It's almost like a movement.
This is a visionary endeavor.
Pratyam ko saphalta ke liye sadhuwaad.
Amazing job.
Strongly recommend do your contribution.
Support them, subscribe them.
By donating to Pratyam, you are just not giving. You are investing in our culture, our future, and our children.
Reaching out to the people with the results of the research, I wish them all the very best.
Join us on this journey. Donate today and become part of a timeless legacy.
Then I got further. I said, "Arey, these guys themselves are saying they are not after spending a whole lifetime. They don't know what is a Param Satya."
And yeah? Russell wrote a book, you know, The History of Western Philosophy.
right. And he's concluding like this. So I immediately, philosophy also, I could see that this kind of the Western philosophy, speculative philosophy, was not going anywhere near the truth.
Absolutely.
So then what happened was, practically I went through a period of existential frustration. Kya farak hai? Jeene mein kya farak hai? Jeene hai marne hai? Both are same. Life has no meaning. And you look at the number of stars in the sky. What is man's position? What is earth's position? What is my position on this earth? How does it matter if I live or die? That kind of an existential frustration I reached. And at the point of, see, mind is also crazy. When you reach that state, you can even commit suicide. And I wanted to commit suicide in IIT. I found no purpose in pursuing in my IIT, in anything. I found no purpose. When you become purposeless, your mind becomes, void. And so I went through that process. So one day I practically decided, tomorrow I'm going to jump off the main building and commit suicide. That evening, I went to IIT library as usual. I used to read all these Western philosophies. And as I was moving through the aisle, so familiar with all the books, I came to the end of the aisle and I saw a set of colorful books. That is Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. By the way, in the beginning, before going into the philosophy, Western philosophy, I did see these books. I did pick up one of those books. Then I saw Vishnu sitting on Garuda. Arey, yeh sab kuch param satya se kuch samband nahi hai, yeh sab katha hai. I put it back.
It's all fiction.
Yes, I put it back. 2 saal ke baad, aisa chal raha tha, wo book ke paas gaya. वो शेल्फ और मैंने देखा अच्छा फिलॉसफी तो अभी हमने बंद कर दिया फिलॉसफी डजंट साइंस डजंट गिव आंसर फिलॉसफी डजंट गिव आंसर एंड ठीक है एनीवे आई डिसाइडेड टू गिव माय लाइफ अप आज एक कुछ स्टोरी बुक पढ़ेंगे करके बिकॉज मेरा मन में क्या इंप्रेशन है वो प्रभुपाद का पुस्तक सब स्टोरी है भागवत पुराना है तो मैंने निकाला एक बुक निकाला कृष्णा बुक समरी ऑफ द दशम स्कंद ऑफ भागवतम जाके आराम से उधर बैठा सो देयर आई रैपिडली रैंडमली एक पेज खोला तो उसका था प्रेयर्स बाय पर्सोनिफाइड वेदास सो दिस इज अ ब्रह्मास प्रेयर्स टुवर्ड्स द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड ऑफरिंग प्रेयर्स 2 पेज पढ़ा आई वॉज क्राइंग Especially I saw this sloka, Ishuraha Paramakrishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karana. Are yeh toh main dekh raha hoon, search kar raha hoon, Sarva Karana Karana.
Kya baat hai, bahut badhiya.
Kya beautifully Sanskrit mein likha hai, hum socha yeh sab kahani hai. But yeh bada tattva hai. It is about the absolute Param Satya ke baare mein. And uska description dekha, Prabhupada kaisa likha hai, Bhagwan kya hai. One who possesses all 6 opulences, the meaning of Bhagavan. This is God. He is the origin of everything. He is infinite personality. There is nothing equal to or greater than Him. These are all the definitions in Bhagavatam about God. I said, this is wonderful. And then as I was, I decided I will not commit suicide.
So it was some kind of divine interference.
Divine. Prabhupada's mercy.
Grace.
Yes, Prabhupada's grace. You see, these great personalities, they live in those books.
Yeah.
They live in those words.
And they are immortal.
Immortal.
Eternal.
Immortal.
They are still, living.
Yes,
their consciousness is still around.
Still around.
Guiding people.
Guiding.
Yeah, inspiring people.
Yes. You see, all the work that we have done here.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, when I came here in 1981, it was in a 2-bedroom house, ISKCON. And three, four of us.
It's all grace.
All His grace, we have built up, we got this land, then built up this beautiful temple.
Beautiful.
After completing this temple, we started this Akshaya Patra,
feeding
1500 children in the surrounding schools. That's also very interesting, the inspiration. You see what happened, one day I was sitting and then in my office and then it was a Sunday. So, the Mohandas Pai came into my office. Then he sat and then he said, you are distributing khichdi to all the people who are coming here. Swamiji, can we feed nearby schools also. Kids are hungry. Can temple can do that also. Then I said, yeah, we'll start. So we started with 5 schools, 1,500 children. Within 2 months, the word spread around so much that I got a request for almost 1 lakh children to be fed.
Oh my God.
Within about 5 kilometer radius.
That's huge. Yeah.
That many schools. So then I was also shocked. How I'm living so much in, you know, ignorance is bliss. I don't know that, you know, nice temple and we are having nice spiritual life and surrounding this, you know, so many kids are going hungry without food in the classroom. They're sitting in a, they're simply, what will enter their minds if they're hungry? So then I expanded it to about 5,000 like that. But uske aage badhne ke liye, I did not have that courage, because once you start, you cannot stop.
You're right.
Recurring expenditure is there.
You're right, absolutely.
See, today we are feeding 23 lakh children every day.
Oh my God.
Every day.
Wow.
I am telling the story of how I was scared to go beyond 5,000. So, kaun kiya ye sab?
Bhagwan
ki kripa hai.
Bilkul. एक निमित्त बना दिया, आपको माध्यम बना दिया.
ह्यूमनली नॉट पॉसिबल टू डू दिस. आई हैव माय रियलाइजेशन द लॉजिस्टिक्स टू रीच एग्जैक्टली लंच टाइम 23 मिलियन चिल्ड्रंस फूड मिड डे मील नॉट पॉसिबल. इट्स अ डिवाइन इंटरवेंशन एट ऑल स्टेजेस. द ग्रोथ स्टोरी ऑफ अक्षय पात्र इज ऑल्सो वेरी वंडरफुल, वेरी डिवाइन, कंप्लीट डिवाइन इंटरवेंशन.
आई नो दैट, आई कैन रिलेट विद इट, बिकॉज इवन द बिगिनिंग ऑफ प्राचीन स्टूडियोज and everything that happens, you know, and the way it is happening, I know it is, you know, divine grace. It is divine intervention.
Yes.
It is not humanly possible for us to even think, you know, and, you know, start up a parallel OTT platform to reach to the masses, Indian diaspora around the world, you know.
You know, when actually you realize the divine grace is when you have something in mind to achieve, and without even you having a vision, you are pushed into that.
Absolutely. You're right.
So normally what happens when people reach a particular, you know, height in life, everybody calls them a visionary. But actually it is their destiny.
You're right.
Or in case of people like us who do want God's work, it is beyond even destiny.
Yeah.
Lord decides where to Absolutely. Take you. Where to take you, how to use you as a nimitta.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So coming back on the fundamental question, Prabhuji, we share almost similar experiences of life.
Right.
You know, the same as you said, you know, I also went through that. And I'm going to further address this because it is very important that these things are addressed now. And I'll just come to that, you know. Being a rebel and then, you know, turning away from, you know, your culture and your rituals and, you know, the belief in God and all that, it happened with me. And then again the quest started.
Right.
Then maybe I should read it before I discard it. Maybe I should read it more. Then I became a marine officer, you know. So in modern astronomy was the part of my curriculum.
Okay.
So when I read, you know, modern astronomy, and meanwhile in parallel I had started reading, you know, a book on Indian Vedic astrology.
Okay.
So when I was reading the modern astronomy, I saw, you know, all the modern laws, the Kepler's laws of planetary motion and all that. But I found, you know, that, you know, in our Indian astronomy, these things were mentioned thousands of years back, you know.
Right, right. Before Newton, before Galileo.
Yeah, before, much before, you know.
Much before.
You know, in Aryabhattika or Surya Siddhanta or, you know, in Parashar Hora Shastra. And I was so deeply impressed and inspired by this. And then by the time I had met my great guru, who had started guiding me, you know, on this path, you know. Now, what I believe is that, you know, maybe not everybody is fortunate like us, you know. You know, we were blessed to, you know, find, you know. Like I, at that time, you know, I also picked up a book, you know, Srimad Bhagavad Gita of Prabhupada Maharaj.
Okay.
And I used to carry it with me and I used to read it, and I tell you one very, very personal thing, you know. The first, I still remember, and it's I think 35 years back or something, when I was reading Prabhupada's translation of Bhagavad Gita, The first time when I read Shri Bhagavanu Vacha, I was thrilled. I'm telling you, goosebumps, you know. And I said, you know, Bhagwan is saying this. Eh? And it is written here, you know. And I read it, I was deeply engrossed, whole night I was reading. And I was, you know, so inspired, deeply moved, you know. I said, my God, this is what it is, you know. And there was nobody to tell us or to guide us, you know. That brings me to the fundamental questions, you know, and because it is still very relevant today. Unfortunately, you know, what happened with our country during the colonial rule, you know, our Guru Shish Parampara was absolutely abolished. You know, the English Education Act came in 1835, you know, and the Yorkshire, a model of education of the Britishers, you know, was imposed and enforced on us. So the Guru Shish Parampara, you know, destroyed all the Gurukuls, and we have some very interesting movies, you know, on Guru Shish Parampara, on Sahibs Who Never Left. We have covered this. And then what is really tragic is, and what is very unfortunate is that even after getting, you know, the independence, we did not do any course correction, you know. We continued on the same trend. Right. And in fact, you know, we did a lot of damage, you know, like by the constitutional amendment of Article 28 and Article 30, you know, where Hindus became the greatest sufferers, you know, because we were not allowed to, you know, be taught anything which was related to our own religion or cultural roots or spirituality, you know. And it still prevails. Eh? Now, my question to you is, what is the importance of spiritual education right from the early childhood in schools? Eh? And what are the way out, you know, what should be done in the current prevailing circumstances that we can bring about a great awareness in this direction?
The Western science or Western system of knowledge, they have no idea of this descending process of knowledge. Yeah. Guru Parampara. They have no idea.
They have no idea.
They are following the ascending process of knowledge, what they see with the senses, accumulate information, data, and see correlations, and they built up this science. Obviously, the higher truths, which we cannot see with our five senses, they will never get access to. Whereas our process of knowledge, the Vedic process of knowledge, is descending process of knowledge. That means knowledge of everything already exists. It is not, this is not that, you know, you create knowledge. It exists. And there is a way to access it. And that accessing, that is a disciplic process, by disciplic succession, by which knowledge has come. Parampara means parampara is originating, all paramparas are originating in God.
Yeah.
There are different branches of parampara. That means ready-made knowledge is already there. That is why Veda is called eternal. Veda is not a book.
Mm.
At one point in time, it was classified into four Vedas. Mm. But actually, Veda is Shabda. It is eternally coming down from God.
Mm.
So this alternate process of knowledge, that the existence of that is not known to the intellectuals. And it makes a lot of sense. You know, it's not like, okay, now you are talking about scriptures. We're talking about science one side, and the other side is talking about scriptures. Scriptures are as scientific as your ascending process, the knowledge that you gain by your ascending process. Those knowledge are recorded from persons who have realized those truths through higher sensory perceptions. You use microscope to find out what is beyond your eyes. You use telescope to find out what is beyond your eyes. Our rishis have used inner perception to see facts, realities beyond the apparent.
Beautiful. The antardrishti.
Antardrishti.
Absolutely.
So, is it not possible that there is a route to get pure knowledge like that? Even, you know, it makes a lot of sense. It made a lot of sense to me when Prabhupada and read Prabhupada's book, he explained this two process of knowledge. Ascending process of knowledge, descending process of knowledge. Then he said, the infinite can never be understood by your ascending process of knowledge. Because it's infinite.
Absolutely.
With your finite senses, you cannot. So it has to be received. Now the entire process of spiritual life or entire process of discovery of truth, whether it is spiritual life or even about, as you said, our rishis knew about all the planetary systems and planetary motions and
all the planets,
speed,
you know,
and
all the nakshatras,
speed and everything they knew. So how did they know? They didn't have telescope.
Yeah.
They had another equipment called Antardrishti.
Huh?
So we cannot, we have to revive this somehow or the other. Yes. And that Antardrishti, the process of getting at knowledge, comes from internal tapasya, by discipline, by sadhana. So, yeah, you can, you know, like big scientists like Einstein and, you know, all these people, they were also tapasvis. Day and night they were thinking about space and time, and suddenly they clicked, it clicked, right? So, there is a possibility, I mean, not, I'm saying to convince people who do not know about it. There is a very good possibility that there are other paths of discovering knowledge about the universe, knowledge about ourselves, knowledge about life. To simply say science is the end of it is such a stupid thing, limiting it knowledge. That is why now Westerners are coming to India. You take all Robert Oppenheimer or even Einstein, Niels Bohr, all these people have come and touched the Upanishad knowledge.
Absolutely, you're right.
Right. They came in contact with that, then they found that, right, conceptually it's also such a great idea they have, India has got.
You're right.
And gave them direction for their own scientific research.
You're right.
And many of the Indians, youths, they do not know this.
You're right.
They do not know this. They do not, today if you take all the technology that we see here, it's coming from quantum mechanics.
You're right.
Theory of relativity, Einstein's. These personalities, it is recorded history that they got inspiration from India.
And they have openly admitted it.
Admitted it.
Even, you know, the greatest scientist of all times, Nikola Tesla, you know, he has admitted it, Even the greatest Western philosopher like Schopenhauer, you know, they have, you know, admitted it.
Yes.
And they said, you know, that, you know, they have find, you know, solace in the Upanishads, you know, and in the Vedas, in the great works of Bharat, Bharati Rishis.
Yeah.
So, but now this aspect, why it has been missing in our curriculum, and how, why, you know, it is so important to be there, so that what people realize, you know, after so much strife and struggle in life, they should be easily, you know, onboarded, you know, on this kind of knowledge tradition.
Yeah, it's very important that, you know, first is, you know, our present adults should feel proud about it, because they can bring about the changes.
Yeah.
So they should feel proud about it, which means, you know, okay, having got educated very nicely, you got a good thinking power. Why not the educated intellectuals of this country? Even, you don't have to believe, go deep into it and research. What is it that you do? Nowadays they don't even look that side. Of course, now days are changing a lot. But in the last, you know, in almost 50 years before, you know, last what, 10, 15 years, a lot of difference are there in the younger generation. Why I say that is because in our temple, we have got a data bank of almost 25,000 youths. I want one festival to be organized, I call 25,000 youths. So things are changing.
Pratyam is about dedicating to Dubai our rich cultural heritage, the essence of Bharat. We are bringing to life the echoes of our glorious past.
We need organizations like Pratyam.
It is old as well as the new rise.
Pratyam Hindu ke gaurav ki gatha gata hai.
60 saal mein humne jo khoya viraasat ke roop mein, sanskruti ke roop mein, usko wapas lane ka kaam kar rahe hain.
Our mission goes beyond creating content. we are sparking a cultural renaissance.
प्राचम एक उत्तिष्ठत का नाद है।
हिंदू समाज को जोड़ने के लिए और सच्चाई दिखाने का काम प्राचम द्वारा हो रहा है।
कई दशकों की एक आवश्यकता को प्राचम पूरा कर रहा है।
प्राचम इज पुटिंग आउट एज एन अर्जेंट सिविलाइजेशन इंपेरेटिव।
गुलामी की मानसिकता अगर कहीं पर भी अंदर धसी हुई हो ना, उसको उखाड़ फेंकने का काम प्राचम का कंटेंट करता है।
लॉन्चिंग द वर्ल्ड्स फर्स्ट हिंदू ओटीटी प्लेटफॉर्म इज जस्ट द बिगिनिंग। We have much more to achieve.
पूरा जनजन सत्य से, तथ्य से और यथार्थ से परिचित होगा।
आपका ये प्रयत्न ईश्वर की आराधना ही है।
काउंटर नैरेटिव का आंदोलन आरंभ हो चुका है।
प्रचम is doing an excellent job to give you knowledge which you don't get in school.
I absolutely love it.
I'm very happy to be a part of the Pracham family.
I extend my best wishes to you and your entire team.
एक बहुत बड़ी सनातन की सेवा हो रही है। उसके लिए मैं हृदय से प्राचम का अभिनंदन करता हूं।
Your support can turn this vision into reality.
Pracham
is doing a very very good job.
We Sanatanis need Pracham.
People are going back to their roots.
It's important for our country.
Arm yourself with the knowledge.
It's almost like a movement.
This is a visionary endeavor.
Pracham ko safalta ke liye sadhuvaad.
Amazing job.
Strongly recommend do your contribution.
Support them, subscribe them.
By donating to Pracham, you are just not giving. You are investing in our culture, our future, and our children.
Reaching out to the people with the results of the research, I wish them all the very best.
Join us on this journey. Donate today and become part of a timeless legacy.
But it requires a systematic way in which, you know, the education is imparted in the schools. At least, you know, as a intervention along with modern education, there has to be a value education based on our values, Sanatana Dharma. Eternal values and eternal, these are not, see, the point about this is, it's not about faith. Our dharmic principles are about sustainable living. We have to talk in their language.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you tell them that, you tell me your present way of growth of society, is it sustainable? Everybody is coming from the urban area, going into the urban area from the rural area, leaving their farming and everything. Their aspiration is when they can leave farming.
Hmm.
Our goal should be when we can make our youths think the other way. When can I go back to farming?
Hmm.
See, in a big way, larger scale, you should see how the earth can be sustainable. If everybody goes into factories, everybody goes into, Prabhupada used to call this as Ugra Karma civilization. Ugra Karma means for man, for his survival, for sustainable living. You have complicated your life so much that for the facility and gratification of a few, a huge mass is slugging. It's an imbalance. When you take the total view,
right,
it's a total imbalance.
Total imbalance.
Whereas in our, you know, Varnashrama Dharma, which is actually, people have misunderstood. They have, I'll give you an example. When Prabhupada went to Russia, Professor Kotowski had a conversation with him, philosopher. So he talked about, my real thing is, you know, I understand you're talking about knowledge and all these things, but your India's caste system, he pointed out.
That's what they come to always.
Yeah, caste system. So Prabhupada was very cool. So Prabhupada told, okay, it's a social problem you are telling. Let me ask you some questions. He asked the professor, in Russia, do you have intellectuals? He said, yes. You have people who are focusing only on business, commerce, etc. Yes, we have. And do you have people who are, administrators, rulers, politicians? You have? Yeah, we have. Do you have people working the field, working the factory? And yes, we have. He says, this is these four occupations in society, occupational divisions in any social structure cannot be avoided. It is a truth. This is called Varna. That means based on your guna karma. According to, because each of us are born, each of us are different. Each of us are born according to our guna and karma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my sharira is different, your sharira is different. Not only your body, your mind, just like now they say about artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
We knew about it long back. We say our intelligence is all artificial intelligence only, mm-hmm. because soul is sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
This body, manas, buddhi, ahankara is considered to be material body by Krishna. So my real spiritual intelligence, spiritual mind, spiritual self is beyond these eight elements. So therefore, this whole body is like a dream body. It's an artificial body. So the intelligence that we use, now you can say the present artificial intelligence is artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Our normal intelligence itself is artificial intelligence.
Well said.
You're okay. Right. Yeah. So, like this, so many wonderful things are there that needs to be the foundation of Vedic system of knowledge. We have to realize that it is a descending process. Descending process is not just simply believing. You take something, just like even in modern science, there are capsules of descending process of knowledge. For instance, I join a science course. Say I'm chemistry. They'll give you a textbook. I do not know what is there in it, is truth or not. But do I start reading it? Yes. Do I not? I start studying it. But then you go to the chemistry lab. Then you follow this experiment. You see it's a truth. So the descending process of knowledge is also a way of understanding truth, discovering truth.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't remain. You mix two atoms of hydrogen, one atom of oxygen under particular temperature and condition.
Mm-hmm.
You will see it becomes water. Then you realize, sakshatkar ho gaya. Pehle to gyan aa gaya, H2O. Then, so you are doing the same thing. So we are saying instead of chemistry book, there are books about the entire universal knowledge. But you have to, it is not a chemistry lab, most of it is, this body is the lab. So there has to be samskara. You want self-knowledge, you want knowledge beyond your five senses. That's why it is said the Indian should be the world's guru.
Hmm.
Not simply some sentimental thing, because they have got that knowledge to go deeper inside, develop that antardrishti and give that knowledge to the world.
That's how they have always done it, for thousands of years.
Yeah, thousands of years. Because thousands of years back, there was no distinction between India and Bharat. Everything, whole world was Bharat.
Yeah.
Yudhishthira was the emperor of the whole earth.
Mm.
Isn't it?
Absolutely. Huh? So, it is very important, that this kind of discipline and the knowledge tradition should be integrated in the modern schools.
Definitely, it should be integrated. I would say it should be parallel to the modern syllabus, the present syllabus, because everything is a reality. Whatever it is, science, modern science has made tremendous advancement with respect to those cross matter. Truth is truth. Whether they discovered it, because we see everything coming from God.
Mm.
Okay, according to time, place and circumstances, this great, the modern science have originated from there.
Mm.
And we also utilize, like we utilize light, everything. Now we don't say, okay, Westerners discovered or the electricity and therefore now we will not use it. No, we were also, we see the whole world as one, as a leela of the Lord.
Mm.
So through them it must have, these things have come, but we are more as Indians, we are genetically, you can say, are more inclined, potential is there, more inclined to go into this higher sciences.
Absolutely.
Where the results of these sciences can be utilized properly. See, if today the power of atom bomb, if it is misused, who uses it? Human being. If the human being is not mature, you will just destroy yourself. So modern technology is like a double-edged sword. So if there has to be world peace, the leaders who use these weapons, they have to know the spiritual aspect of it. So anyway, that Professor Kotowski, in the end, he said, "Oh, I see. This is Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra." Prabhupada said, "Yes. Historically, it has been distorted into a caste system by, or propagated as a caste system."
Absolutely.
Not even really it has become that.
Propagated.
Propagated as a caste system by the Western thinkers. And therefore, but I would tell you, Prabhupada told him, "You have Brahmanas, you have Kshatriyas, you have Vaishyas, you have Shudras." That no society can exist without that. It is a scientific method of social organization. Supreme Lord Krishna has told in Bhagavad Gita, "Chatur Varne Maya Shishtam Guna Karna Makash."
Yeah.
And Varna, Ashrama. That means there is a paramarthic aspect and vyavaharik aspect of each individual. That means there is a bodily aspect of nature of a person, and beyond that, the spirit is in this body. So that spirit has own dharma. That is cultured through ashrama. Body as a dharma, that is cultured through varna. So a human being, varna ashrama system, when they combine together, each one practices his varna within the ashramas, it actually harmonizes his entire system towards the deeper realizations of life. And when there is deeper realizations of life, then the superficial things are derived from such fundamental values. It brings peace, prosperity, happiness to the whole society.
Absolutely.
It is not simply luxury of some, you know, gyanic exercise. Ultimately, it has got application in the society.
You're right.
To every human being. Not only human being, every living being, animal, trees, environment, full, it has got an all-round impact, our Vedic culture.
You're right.
All-round impact.
We are coming up with a film, you know, on Bharat's contributions to the world. It's a two-part film. You know, and in that, you know, our contributions to the world in science, in mathematics, in astronomy, in medical sciences, in surgery, in life sciences, in yoga, in philosophies. You know, the entire modern world, you know, whether they admit this or not, you know, their entire knowledge, their entire industrial revolution, as you said, you know, the core of, you know, they, everything that they're doing in the modern physics is quantum, is actually resting, you know, on the Indian wisdom and knowledge.
Yes, exactly.
But they never admit it. And rather, and as you said, you know, they have always demonized us, you know.
Right.
As you know, that we are the people who are into caste system, right, and right, you know, untouchability. In fact, we have made a film on this. Caste system was introduced by the Britishers in 1871 in the caste census.
Oh, as late as that?
As late as that in 1871. They made out, you know, in the census, and there the caste which were not aligned, you know, with them. Who were not following them, they were vilified and they were, you know, put as the criminal caste. Actually, caste has its, the word itself has its, you know, if you see the etymology, has its root in the Portuguese casta.
Really?
It's not even English.
Oh my God. Oh.
So that's how, you know, the, you know, the this propaganda has been against Bharat, against Hindus, you know, that, you know, we are a caste-based society. Actually, we are world-based, like every other country, every other society in the world, you know. But as Prabhupada explained to him, this needs to be explained to the world, you know. It has never been like that, you know, the way they have always, you know, demonized
us. No, it looks like, you know, India was moving into further, deeper and deeper aspects of understanding of the universe. At one point of time, the West came in and the people who were pursuing were all intellectual classes. Okay, they disempowered them, took this over there, those ideas, you're basic
right.
ideas.
Absolutely, you're right.
So they continued those.
Absolutely.
Okay. With all this kind of
discovery. They stole away, you know, this wisdom and knowledge.
And then
discredited us.
Discredited us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Discredited.
This is what has happened, you know. You are absolutely to the point, you know.
And our it's so-called educated Indians have swallowed this.
For generations. We're not realizing
you,
that
you,
how.
You can't help because yeah. I studied in a missionary school.
Yeah.
And
that's what we had earlier.
Yes, yes.
We only had missionary schools all around the country. You
country.
Know? You know, if you wanted some
anything Indian means, you used to feel.
Yeah, that's how the subversion was done to us. You know,
systematic
ideological subversion.
Yeah,
that's why. Yeah, this is, mm-hmm. and it is still prevalent. You know, I mean, still, you know, the Hindus, the Bharati, they have to wake up to their.
See, me and you cannot represent average Indians' cultural consciousness.
You're
we
right.
don't represent. Mm. We I am an exemption, you are an exemption.
You're right.
How many? See, we are few people who touch this jnana.
You're right.
But as far as the average educated Indian is concerned, I think no better than 50 years back when I was what I was.
Mm.
So we can't live in illusion that India is changing in that sense.
Mm.
Okay, maybe if the number of people who are awakening are more now,
mm.
but considering the Indian population,
you're right,
and people who are educated, that's why Prabhupada said most important thing in his activity, in his mission, he told, distribute Bhagavad Gita.
Mm.
Distribute Bhagavad Gita. Mm. Because he knew people are, if they're educated, then they will apply their mind.
Hmm.
So in a way, we should convert all this Western English education by giving them the Vedic knowledge in English language, and that's what Prabhupada did.
Yeah.
And it is so, this knowledge is so universal.
Hmm.
Prabhupada proved that.
Yeah.
He went to the West.
Yeah.
And he gave them the knowledge without even thinking, you know, all this conversion business. Not know what is the, why conversion? Intellectually be converted.
Yeah.
You have your realizations. You transform yourself.
Hmm.
You don't have to rubber stamp yourself. Prabhupada said, you don't have to rubber yourself as, you know, I'm Hindu, I'm Muslim. He said, you are neither a Muslim nor a Hindu or anybody. You are Atma. You are spirit. Prabhupada is a beautiful example. You see, I pinch you. Is there an American pinch? Is there an Indian pain? American pain?
Hmm.
No, pain is pain. Similarly, God is God.
Hmm.
You are spirit. Beyond all these upadis.
Absolutely.
And then the universal, see, that is the universality of the message of Bhagavad Gita.
Hmm.
Krishna doesn't say, I am the God of Hindus.
Yeah.
What does he say? Sarva Loka Maheshwaram.
Yeah.
Suhurtam Sarva Bhutanam. And the friend of all living entities. Such universality is there in that message, yet it is highly personal. Bhagavad Gita is highly personal. Krishna is Krishna. Natham paratro anyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. There is no one greater than God, no one greater than me.
Hmm.
In other words, the idea of a God, a person to whom no one is equal to or greater. Prabhupada, this is how he used to present in the West. You see the definition of God. You call whatever name may be. We are interested in the key idea. So we are all referring to, but then of course there are so many lower levels as we come. As I said, in a way, religion is equivalent to the technology.
Hmm.
Our religion, Hindu religion, has a spiritual science behind it.
Absolutely.
Whereas many other religions, they're only religious codes. Mm. They don't have a science behind it.
Absolutely. As Swami Vivekananda said, you know, that realization is the true religion. Eh?
Yes. Yes.
The rest all is mere preparation.
Preparation. Yes.
You're right.
Pratyam is about dedicating to Dubai our rich cultural heritage, the essence of Bharat. We are bringing to life the echoes of our glorious past.
We need organizations like Prachyam.
It is old as well as the new rise.
Prachyam Hindu ke gaurav ki gatha gata hai.
60 saal mein humne jo khoya riyasat ke roop mein, sanskruti ke roop mein, usko wapas lane ka kaam kar rahe hain.
Our mission goes beyond creating content. We are sparking a cultural renaissance.
Prachyam ek uttishchat ka naad hai.
हिंदू समाज को जोड़ने के लिए और सच्चाई दिखाने का काम प्राचम द्वारा हो रहा है.
कई दशकों की एक आवश्यकता को प्राचम पूरा कर रहा है.
प्राचम इज पुटिंग आउट इज एन अर्जेंट सिविलाइजेशन इम्पेरेटिव.
गुलामी की मानसिकता अगर कहीं पर भी अंदर धसी हुई हो ना, उसको उखाड़ फेंकने का काम प्राचम का कंटेंट करता है.
लॉन्चिंग द वर्ल्ड्स फर्स्ट हिंदू ओटीटी प्लेटफॉर्म इज जस्ट द बिगनिंग. वी हैव मच मोर टू अचीव.
पूरा जन जन सत्य से, तथ्य से और यथार्थ से परिचित होगा.
आपका ये प्रयत्न ईश्वर की आराधना ही है.
काउंटर नैरेटिव का आंदोलन आरंभ हो चुका है.
प्रचम इज डूइंग एन एक्सीलेंट जॉब टू गिव यू नॉलेज व्हिच यू डोंट गेट इन स्कूल.
I absolutely love it.
I'm very happy to be a part of the Prachyam family.
I extend my best wishes to you and your entire team.
एक बहुत बड़ी सनातन की सेवा हो रही है, उसके लिए मैं हृदय से प्राचम का अभिनंदन करता हूँ.
Your support can turn this vision into reality.
Prachyam is doing a very very good job.
We Sanatanis need Prachyam.
People are going back to their roots.
It's important for our country.
Arm yourself with the knowledge.
It's almost like a movement.
This is a visionary endeavor.
Prachyam ko safalta ke liye sadhuvaad.
Amazing job.
Strongly recommend do your contribution.
Support them, subscribe them.
By donating to Prachyam, you are just not giving. You are investing in our culture, our future, and our children.
Reaching out to the people with the results of the research, I wish them all the very best.
Join us on this journey. Donate today and become part of a timeless legacy.